Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kaylin Patterson, People Be Real Talk, Midwest Muscle in the house. And this number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world, People Be Muscle. And if you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on, don't sing, and a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream. Toot, toot.
Check us out at peoplebemuscle.com. And now, let's talk.
You know,
hey, Des,
my sound, I am good. My sound effects are so lacking compared to yours. I feel like I need to take like a class. Like a sound effect class, so that I can do the opening just like Kaylin Patterson. I'm just so in awe of this upgrade. I don't know why it took us a year and a half to get here, but I'm enjoying it. So hey, folks out there, if you're enjoying the sound effects just as much as I am, let us know. And you know what? Because we got to hold his feet to the fire now. He's raised the bar, so he's got to keep coming up with good stuff week after week.
It.
So we'll see how that
do
goes.
It.
We'll see. We will do it. So welcome to our Thursday show. It is Roll Call. And this is where Kaylin and I are on a quest to speak to all of the rostered P4P athletes out there. Last week was our first official roll call. It was an awesome show, and I have to tell you tonight's guests, I am so excited about. They are just as awesome. I knew P4P had good athletes, but I didn't really know how good until we had a chance to start reaching out and meeting some more of these folks, because you know, we're all in different places. So we can't always get together, but P4P has athletes all over the U.S. And tonight's athlete is coming to us from Texas or Tejas, depending on what you want to do with that X. And her name is Melanie Daly. And I am going to let Melanie say hello and tell us more about herself. Welcome to P4P Roll Call, Melanie.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to join you this evening, and I just feel privileged to be on the phone with y'all. There you go, so you can tell I'm from Texas because I said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was checking that
y'all.
Y'all.
I tell you what.
That might come out just a couple times. It's hard to live here and not use
all
that.
Right. Y'all going to be y'allself. Y'all going to be
y'allself. That's right. Well, I am so excited to be here. I'm very proud to be a natural athlete. That's a really, really big deal to me. I am 47 years old. I didn't really start bodybuilding and competing. Yeah, 47. But I didn't actually step on stage until I was 40. And so I was really active up to then. You know, I've done various kinds of things we can probably touch on if you want. But I had never really gone to the level of training like I wanted to change my physique. And so, you know, life happens. I was a single mom. I'm, you know, a proud mother of a son right now who's in the Navy. He's a rescue swimmer. And, he inspired me like our kids usually inspire us to take some, to do some change, to make some change in my own life. And that was
take
really
the move.
How I...
Yeah.
Stepped into natural bodybuilding, and that's how I found it. And in the course of that, I kind of found myself. So it's been a really good fit for me, and I'm excited to share that with other people.
Awesome. I mean, in the information that you shared with us, I mean, you know, to say that you're a single parent just kind of minimizes the situation a little bit. I mean, I'm also a single parent, so I know that there are a lot of us out there and the things that go along with it, but you were really coming out of kind of a rough spell, it sounds like. And, you know, fitness kind of sounds like the lifeline that helped you pull back out of that.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. And I, you know, I kind of, like I said, I found fitness in a variety of ways. I'd been dilly-dallying around in it since the 90s in various times, and I did the whole marathon thing for a while, and then I moved on to triathlons. It was really just an effort to try to find some balance in my life, because I think what happens as parents, and I can really only speak as mothers because I work with a lot of moms, is we give so much to the people around us. We give so much to the work that we do that we forget about taking care of ourselves. And so it's a little part of self-neglect. It's not on purpose, but it's easy to kind of park ourselves in the corner and then basically, you know, try to take care of everybody else. And so I had hit the bottom of that. I was, you know, trying to figure out where do I go in my life, and I needed some things where I could try to hold on to who I was and maybe even reestablish my own self-confidence. Because I'd left it sitting in the corner for a really long time. And so that's what, absolutely, fitness has brought me up and out of that and has made me a much stronger person because of it.
Now, Des had brought up a good point, and that is that, you know, a lot of times with humble natures, that's the true gist of what has gone on to bring about the change that you're speaking of. Happening doesn't really come out or isn't conveyed correctly because of the humble nature that most people have in your situation. And being a parent is hard in itself, and then interacting with others without basically taking away from their day, but actually, like you said, bringing positive and enlightening things to a person's day, that takes an awful lot of character, that takes an awful lot of discipline, and that takes an awful lot of self-involvement of a situation. So how did you start into that, or did that come from running? Where did the background come from?
Oh, that's a great question. I would absolutely say, Kaylin, I think running started it. And the reason running started it was because when I first started running, I'm not a runner, okay? I'm 5'2". I'm a little short German girl, and I don't have the speed. And I ran a couple blocks, and I thought I was going to die. It was the worst thing I ever considered. But at the time, I know, that's like, why would you go back, right? But what happened was I had just moved my mother into my house to help me care for my son because I traveled a lot at the time for my job. And I found that if I could just get up and be out the door at 4:30 in the morning, that was the only time that I had guaranteed to myself. 4:30 to 5:30, that was my window. And there wasn't a whole lot I could, you know, there weren't any gyms around me that are open at 4:30 in the morning, and I wasn't really sure if I even wanted to go to the gym. The only thing I knew I could do was I could strap on my shoes, and I could walk out that door. And walking became running because I needed to know if I could do it. You know, I'm one of those people, I just kind of thrive on a challenge. And I'm not going to like it all the time, but I do like to challenge myself. And so when I, you know, ran those couple blocks and thought I was going to die, it just fueled the fire a little bit to try another block the next day, and then another block the next day. And I still vividly remember the first day I ran a full mile, and I didn't feel like I was going to die. And that was like a turning place for me. It led to a lot of running in my near future. I started running smaller races with people, and I found that once I got past those first couple miles, it was a really good place for me to just think. And so, Kaylin, when you say that, I go back to those times when it was my reflective time. It was my take care of Melanie time. And it was, you know, all of this. What else do you do when you run but you think, right? You're trying to distract yourself from the fact that you're not home yet. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, yes. You know, kind of, that's what I did. I would problem solve. I would set goals. I even wrote a book in my head in the course of all of that it's a professional thing that I ultimately published. But there was an awful lot I could get done in that hour that took care of me, mentally took care of me. And so I would say that was absolutely a turning point. The, you know, tapping into that inner space that I needed to reconnect with myself.
Like
and that is, I mean, that is, yeah, that is just literally so important. You know, you see a lot of time out there, if you can't pour from an empty cup, which
mm-hmm.
is true. You can't be any earthly good to anyone else if at some point you are not good to yourself and take care of your own, you know, health, mental, and emotional needs and you know, make sure that you have something that you can give to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that really just spun off into what is shaping up to be a very positive bodybuilding career for you. You're currently in a figure pro with the INBA, PNBA, and you're a women's physique pro with the NFF. Tell us a little mm-hmm. bit about that journey. So you've been competing for 7 years. How long have you been pro, and what has that whole process been like for you?
Gosh, you know, like anything in this, it is a process. It's constantly changing and growing. I went through the running and I did multiple marathons, you know, kind of put that feather in my cap. I moved on to triathlon because I wanted some more challenge, and I put that feather in my cap. But what I started to notice was that my body wasn't really changing. And, you know, I've always watched women in bodybuilding from the early 90s. Just, I love how beautiful the body can be. And men
mm-hmm.
too, but you know, I'm kind of biased. I only have one to work with, and so I'm going to work with the more female body. And so I started, you know, again, on all that thinking time and all that goal setting, I decided, you know, there's got to be something that I'm missing, because I'm doing all this activity and I'm healthy, you know, and I'm happier, but I don't look the way I want to look. And right about that time, I was 39, so I'm looking at 40. And, you know, 40's it. And that was a hard one for me. I was really having some difficulty kind of accepting that I was going to be 40. That was the age that I have as my mother. You know, when growing up,
yeah.
it was 40.
Yeah.
And I was all of a sudden, I'm turning into my mother, you know, and oh, that was terrible. So I have a friend who is a personal trainer here in the area, and he wanted to do a fitness competition. It was kind of something that conceptually he wanted to enter it as a team. And so it was him and another trainer, another male, and they wanted to have a female person that we could kind of go as a unit and all compete in this fitness competition. And it was more like, modeling kind of fitness thing, but it had,
mm-hmm.
so they called it Fit Body at the time. But they also had the figure competition, and at the time physique was not a category for women back then. But, you know, so there were several categories. And so he approached me and he said, it was November, end of November, first part of December. And he said, I'd really like you to join us and be part of this team. So anyway, long story short, I rolled it around in my head for a while. And I said, okay, I'll get started after Christmas. The competition is in June. I figured that 6 months, that'll give me some time to see what I can do, talk to some people, figure out what I have to do to get up on stage in a bikini in front of hundreds of people. Because at the time, that was plenty motivating. Okay, I got to do something now. So that's basically what I did. The three of us kind of went into it. One of them had been through fitness competitions before in the men's physique kind of category. So he was a little bit of our guide, but a lot of it was just figuring out what I needed to change in my nutrition, ramping up the training. I had already started training in the gym, but now I was a little bit more focused because I had a vision in my head of what I wanted my body to look like come June. And so I talked to a couple people in the area that I consider mentors who have been in the industry, who have competed before. I took notes, you know, I was totally the geek. I devised my plan and then I revised my plan. And over the course of those several months, I just started to kind of dial it in because I was determined once I'd made that commitment that I was going to step on stage at the age of 40 and I was going to rock it. And I had to feel like I had done everything to really to bring that to fruition on the stage. And so, you know, come hell or high water, that's what I tried to do. And so, anyway, it was interesting because as the body, you know, as it progressed and as I began to see some change, I also began to notice that short German body that I was telling you that I have didn't really look like the bikini kind of fit model body. I definitely have a little chunkier muscle structure. And so one of my mentors here said to me, gosh, Melanie, you know, you should consider competing in figure. Well, that just blew me away because I hadn't planned for that. You know, that wasn't in my notes. And I knew there was posing involved. I mean, the fit model, all I had to do was walk across stage and smile. I figured I could do that. But if you talk about figure, now there's posing and I don't know what I'm supposed to do and how do you turn and how do you hold your body. So I mulled that over for a couple days and then I called him back and I said, connect me with somebody who can at least teach me the posing. Because I said, if I'm going to get up there on stage, I'm going to make the most of that day, I'll try it. What the heck, right? I knew I was gunning for the fit model, but the figure, I thought, well, I'll just dip my toe in and see how I do. So I got a crash course in posing. And, you know, funny thing how that all worked. This was for the INBF here in Austin. And I got up on stage. And I competed in the fit model category and turned around and I competed again in the figure category. And what do you know, I took third place in the fit model, which I was thrilled about. And then I took home the gold in figure.
Nice.
Right. So you can imagine that was kind of exciting. And it lit the fire for me about what I could potentially do and how I could change my physique. And that was all very exciting for me. So that started the train. And I guess for the last 7 years, it's been going pretty much full steam ahead.
Wow. Sounds like a real winner. And especially in life, you know, and especially with the, you know, the background that you shared with us, there's so much where it says, you know, you can pack it in and basically, you know, eat humble pie and do the pity party. It sounds like you just shut the door to all of those things and just came out swinging.
Absolutely. That's kind of how I roll, Caitlin. So, you know, just, you know, go in with eyes wide open, but just go in. And, you know, full steam ahead because if you're the only you've got and nobody's going to do it for you. Yeah, I learned that lesson really, really early on. I can learn as much as possible about it, but then you have to actually put it into action. And that's the scariest part. I mean, it's truly, in many cases, I think, fear-based, you know, some of the actions that we take. And so I just choose to let that fear drive me toward positive rather than hibernate and try to ignore that it's out there. That's just always forward for me.
Amen to that, sister. I mean, and that's such a great way to put that. And, you know, you had shared with us that for you and many of your clients, because you're also a physique coach, you're a competition coach, is that the need for, maybe not even so much the fear, but it's the need for patience that tends to be the most challenging part of this sport for you. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Oh, yeah, you bet. It's not only the most challenging part for me. I think it's probably the most challenging part for anybody. And I do train and I do coach people, and I don't just do competition coaching or physique coaching. I have clients who kind of cover the gamut, you know, who have over 100 or 200 pounds to lose all the way down to, you know, that person that just has 20 pounds to peel off and they want to get on stage. But it doesn't matter where you are in that process. The hardest part is just to trust that changes are happening because we can't always see it. And sometimes we can't even really feel it. And so as a natural athlete, especially, you're relying on your body's natural progression and natural adaptation to the nutrition, to the training, to the cardio, to the recovery. And all of that is working in this kind of jigsaw puzzle kind of way. And the little pieces are sliding together, but you can't always see it happening. So, you know, we all talk about the newbie gains. You know, when there's somebody who's brand new to training or brand new to changing their life kind of style like this, they see relatively rapid change, you know, from every couple weeks to month, they begin to see it and they get excited. And those kinds of changes really get you fired up to keep moving forward. But then we all start to slow down because the body is so smart and so adaptive that we, you know, it slows down how it changes. And so then I think it becomes the most challenging. That, those are the days when you go to the gym and you're struggling with finding your mojo. That's what I kind of think of it as. And it's because you don't see it happening right away. And it's this is when I tell myself and I tell everybody that I work with, you have to trust the process. Just the fact that you are taking your body through it, and your body is changing, but we can't always see that on the outside. I had one client once, he wasn't a natural first language English speaker, so some of the things that he said are always kind of interesting, but he said one day, he'd been working with me for a few weeks, and he was trying to tell me that he realized that he didn't see a lot of change on the outside yet, but he told me, I feel like I'm changing inside. And he was exactly right. That's exactly how it happens. It happens from the inside out. And so that's the part that's most, that's the biggest struggle, is just trust the process. It is happening on the inside. And eventually you're going to wake up one day and you're going to look in the mirror or you're going to look back at a picture and say, oh my gosh, look what I've done. I see it now. But you have to wait for it.
I said, I'm ready to get to the gym. Give me some weights.
That's right. I know. And so I have to talk to myself that way, too. I think we all do. You know, when I'm dragging or I've just been one of those days or you're in the gym and you're trying to, oh, just find that mojo. That's what I just have to remind myself is if I can just, oh, gosh, just one rep at a time. You know, there are some of those exercises that I love but I hate because they're hard, but I know that I'm growing because of them. I literally have that moment where I just have to go one rep at a time. It may be a set of 10, and I may be doing 10 sets of 10, but I sure as heck don't want to think of that as 100. I'm going to think of it as one rep, and I got that one done. Good. Excellent. Do another. And it's the same thing. It's a day-to-day-to-day process, just like it's a one-rep-at-a-time process. That's what makes it really a fascinating thing, but I think it's also what makes it a challenging thing. And so it's finding that balance each and every day.
And that, you know, and that's just very well said, I mean, and if I think more people could, I won't say more, but on the days that you're struggling, and we all have those days, I mean, even the most upbeat and, you know, dedicated athlete like Kalen, I think occasionally he has those days. I have those days several times a week sometimes, depending on the week. And it really is.
I know
and
this.
Sometimes it
this
starts
is what
with,
I know.
Okay, I've got my shoes on.
This is what I know. I got a fever, and the only prescription is more kettlebells.
Oh my gosh, too funny. Well, Melanie, our time has just flown by so quickly. But
what?
I would be remiss if we didn't give you I know we've got another roll caller. We gotta welcome to the show. But we'd be remiss if we did not give you the chance. I know. But what I'm trying to do is give Melanie the chance here to give a shout-out to anybody and everybody that that has helped her along her way.
Oh my gosh, I don't think we have time. You know, because I'm a seeker of information, and you know, I love being hooked up with P4P, and I'm super proud to represent it. You know, that would be my biggest shout out, is because I really think that you're out there really supporting natural athletes, and I just want so many more people to recognize the value of being a natural athlete, and knowing, you know, the power of the human body is adequate and is enough for achieving the physique that you want to have without, you know, any kind of outside influences. And so that's probably my biggest shout out. There's lots of people I can give kudos to. I have a great tribe of people who support me, and I couldn't do it without them. But that's truly, I think, how we should all roll, is just, you know, is build your tribe, support the people around you, and make sure that you are surrounding your people, yourself, with people that support you as well.
And that's no knock against Cleveland and the Indians, because the Cubs won.
Well, Melanie, I am hearting you so hard right now that I hate to say goodbye, but you know what? We're going to have you back.
It's so hard to say goodbye.
Oh, yes. And we wish you the best.
Thank you. I would love to come back anytime. We'll chat about anything you want.
Hold on, Des. I would love to talk with her, because she was such a profound runner, about the crossover from running to actual weightlifting, because that's a big thing, and a lot of people downplay it, but it is a lot bigger than most people talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Well,
we'll definitely do that.
We'll have to get that set up. All right, Melanie, have a fantastic evening, woman. Keep crushing it, and we'll be watching you.
All right. Thanks, y'all. You guys have a great night.
All right, y'all. Oh, what a joke.
You did it. That y'all was quite natural for you there, Kaylin.
You know what? I'm about as country as you get, girl. You ain't said nothing.
I like to throw out a healthy y'all myself sometimes, and I'm an Iowa native, but hey, I think we all got a little Tejas in us, a little bit somewhere in the depth. So with that, we have another awesome guest tonight. She's a 25-year-old that hails from Rice Lake, Wisconsin. I don't know if they say y'all there, Brittany, but Brittany Long Henry, welcome to P4P. Roll call.
Thank you. We do not say y'all around here.
Darn it.
What do they say in Wisconsin? Do you guys have a phrase for you all?
But now I'll probably say it tonight, just hearing you guys say it, so watch out.
What are your boot
That's
up there?
That's right.
What are we, what?
What are your boot? I said, what are you a boot up there?
I have no idea what
like
he said.
Like Oofta. Maybe Oofta. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Oofta. Well, now that we've established that y'all is not a part of your regular vocabulary, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Okay. Well, as you said, I'm from Rice Lake, Wisconsin. I've pretty much lived here my whole life. I lived in Madison for a little bit, and kind of what led me there was a little bit of my background. I grew up cutting wood. I was homeschooled, so all the time I was outside cutting wood, working concrete with my dad. It was just normal, you know, normal to get out, lift wood, logs, haul them around, heavy as can be. It didn't matter. It was really important to me to be strong and not worry about so much about my physique. So that's when I went down to Madison when I turned 18, and I went to school down there for construction. And so that's kind of my background.
I do have to stop you there for a second, because I am just blown away, and I know I'm playing into the gender stereotype here, but I am blown away that you, a female, went to construction school on your own free will. That's where you wanted to go. I have never heard of that before. I think it's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, and that was part of growing up, too. I mean, I was the one wrestling with all the cousins, and, you know, I was the only girl on the job site. And so I was pretty used to it by the time I got into construction school. And I knew I was going to be one of few females, so.
Yeah. And then that led you to a pretty interesting next step in your career, because then you joined the military as an engineer.
I did, yep. And that's exactly what stemmed off of it. I remember when I went to sign up, I said, okay, I want to join, but I want anything that's physical laborious. You know, I want to work hard. I want to do that, you know, so that's why I pursued engineering. Yeah.
Wow.
And with that, too, there was like 200 females, or 200 males to like 5 females in the company that I was in. So I was pretty used to male-dominated careers.
Well, let's get on to, since this is real talk, and, you know, I've been on a construction site or two myself, and I'm here to tell you some of the stuff that they say ain't so PG, I guess the best way to say it. It's really hard-hitting. So how many barbs and jabs are thrown your way, and how did you – I mean, I'm sure, you know, growing up the way you said, that it was probably easier for you than most of the people that had that kind of stuff thrown at them.
Yeah, it was definitely easy for me. Like, when I was on the job site with my father, I don't think any guy around would have opened his mouth up too much with him around. So I had that. And then once I was in college and then working on my own and everything, it was kind of the same thing. You would have the crew, you know, and the guys that would, you know, say some inappropriate things or whatnot, or constant jokes. But I would also have a guy there that would kind of adopt me, you know, like an older guy where he was kind of like my worksite dad or my worksite big brother. And so, again, they kind of defended my honor all the time. So that was great. But as well as holding my own pretty well, so.
You had your own plethora of rated R commentary for when the moment was
right. Oh, my goodness. And then go from construction to the military. Wow. I'm sure that was like an upgrade in, so to speak.
Yeah. Yep.
Woo.
And you
were
doing,
And
you were doing some pretty amazing, I mean, and then we're going to get on to the part that everybody wants to hear about is the bodybuilding. But, I mean, in the military, you were building bridges. So, I mean, you were out there still doing some pretty heavy-duty work.
Right, absolutely. So, like at one point when they build the bridges, they'll divide you up by height. So the taller you are, the more heavy job that you get. And I remember one time we were in line, and so I'm short, super short. But I remember, like, taking a couple guys, and I was like, you have to switch spots with me. You have to switch spots, because I did not want to have the easiest job. I was not going to accept that just because I was short and the female. So I remember making these privates go in front of me. I was like, nope, you got to stand in front of me. So they were, you know, screwing bolts all day, and I was out there hauling these big, heavy, you know, stuff. So it was kind of cool.
Definitely. And so you're, like, this very strong, independent, kind of rough-and-tumble gal, and then you become a bikini girl. And not to downgrade bikini girls, because I'm a bikini girl myself, so I hold us all in the highest esteem, even though, you know, in the pecking order of categories, we are lower. But how does that happen?
Right. I think that's – it's not that I have something to prove. Like, it's not like I'm like, oh, females are, you know, so tough. And that's why I think I went into it, is because I wanted to show that, yes, I can work really hard. But I have nothing to prove. Like, I'm still a female. I still like to look pretty and go out with my girlfriends and, you know, and get dressed up and the glim and glam of the bikini contest. Like, I like that. And so that's – so it's almost the opposite. It's like I want to show that, yeah, I'm strong, but I don't have anything to prove to any of you. You know, I like to look fun and, you know. So I think that's what it comes off of.
Yeah. I love when it's a fun talk with me.
So how did that journey begin for you in the bodybuilding competitive world?
Well, when I moved back up north, I had met a guy, Cody, and he was a physique competitor. So I didn't know anything about bodybuilding at all, not a thing in the world. And I went to one of his shows with him, and I remember looking up on stage, and I saw, at the time, I didn't even know that there was classes. Like, I didn't even know there was the bikini competitors. But I liked the look of what they got to do on stage. And I was like, I'm pretty active. I've been active my whole life, doing all these sports. I was like, I bet you if I stepped up my game, you know, invested some time into what this takes, I could do that. I was like confident. It wasn't even like I think I can. It was like, hey, I can get up there. I can do this. I'm going to do this. And so it was shortly after that, that week, literally I called up some friends, got some connections, and I started training. And I remember jumping into the gym right away. And it wasn't like, oh, you're a beginner. You've never lifted weights in your life. Well, here, let's start here. It was like, nope, already two bodybuilders, jumped in with them, started training real hard, and it's wrestling on. So.
Wow. I mean, I'm just so overjoyed because hard work, it seems like it's just since you were born, which is a great thing. But it's also nice to hear and refreshing that you're so ready to work harder. And I mean, like, I don't think anything is looked at as a challenge. You was just something else to do. Is that from your dad? Did that stem from something that he taught you, or is there something that was just inborn in you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my dad, he's the strongest guy I know. I mean, he's not even that big of a guy, but he's just so strong. It's like, and that's what I watched growing up, is like, okay, we have to get this job done. Well, dad would figure it out. You know, it's like, that's what I always say, like, there's not really limits. There's different ways of doing it. And so if I feel like it's a, you know, okay, I can't figure that out in a second. Okay, well, let's take a step over here because I'm going to figure out the path to get it done. So sometimes, yeah, it might be really challenging. It might be intimidating, but I know that if I take a step over, I'm going to be able to dominate it, and I'm going to figure out how to accomplish it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you've been competing for a couple of years now.
Yeah, about three.
And it looks like one of the favorite shows, based on the information that you've shared with us, that is one that's also near and dear to Kaylin and I's heart, and that's the Chi-Town Showdown that's led there by Joe Perez. Tell us a little bit about your experience with Chi-Town.
I don't know. The overall experience is just such a, like, a family atmosphere. I mean, you go there, there's obviously a ton of competitors, tons of people around, but I've never been to another show where they've done such a good job of just making each athlete so important to them personally, not even just to the show, but to them personally as a family. And that I really like. That holds close to my heart. So, and plus I've done well there, in my opinion. You know, I've got 2 second places at that show, so I'm really close to trying to go pro there, and I will one day. And then this past
next year.
What's that?
Next year, I'll see you then.
Yes, yes, that is the plan. And there's something that was cool to me. Before I go on stage all the time, I always pray, just real quick. I'll tell you a real quick prayer, and I'm just like, Lord, just shine something through me bigger than myself. That's really important to me. Just a quick, you know, whatever prayer. And then this year, I got the right? And then I got the best stage presence overall. And so to me, that meant everything. So I got not only, okay, last year I got the second place. Now this year I got the second place plus best stage presence overall. So now I'm coming for the, you know, for everything. So.
Well, good thing you're on the female side. Because, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You'd have to bump heads with me on the male side because I'm, yeah. After this year, I'm real hungry.
Well, we'll both get it then.
There you go. Sorry, Des.
This isn't about you, Doug.
Hey, you know what? It's all good. So I'm all about competitors. I want to have the hungriest of hungry there. And if I lose, I lose. That's okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
But you know what? I do have to say, no one can throw a booty pop bikini pose like Kaylin Patterson, not even on the female side. So you know what?
Yep.
Even if it was a co-ed, I'd still have my work cut out for me, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little worried too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you, I don't know if we've got a video of that. I'm going to have to look and find it. But Kaylin Patterson can throw a booty pop with the best of them. Don't let him fool you.
Who else can do that real well? Meshack. I'm on Team Meshack. Yes. You know my coach?
Yes.
He
is
one of the best
Meshack
clothing instructors there are for bikini.
I have not seen Meshack throw a booty pop. I'm going to have to pay attention to that. I'm going to have to ask him.
I have. impressive. So I can only dream.
Well, Kaylin, here it is. And Brittany, you can help set this up. But I think we need to have a showdown. I think we need to get Kaylin and me, Jack, side by side, and we need to have
that's a showdown.
That's
next year's showdown. Next year's showdown. How about it?
I would love it. I would love it. Oh, my gosh. That's Facebook Live worthy right there, y'all.
Yes. Absolutely.
See what I did there? I worked in the y'all.
You did.
All right.
So
I'm starting to notice it less and less. So.
I'm going to take us back real quick, Brittany, where you were referencing that I believe I heard this correctly, that you say a prayer.
Yes.
And so you have also
one of the
shared
things,
with us that. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, that's what, this is kind of a shout-out here, but same with me, Shaq, and Tyann, my coaches, they'll do that with me as well, and so that's one of the reasons I'm so proud to be on their team, on Team Me, Shaq, is because of that, of the faith that we share. Again, something extremely close to my heart, so I'm just winning on that level, you know, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a great level to be winning on, and I wanted to, you referenced in details you shared with us, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, that do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. What kind of impact, do words like that have on your training and your perspective being a bodybuilding athlete?
You know, it's the root of everything that I am. I mean, if I don't have that, I don't have anything. So I put it into everything when I'm running. You know, it's like, okay, think deeper here. Think the bigger purpose, like everything that you do in life, it compounds, So as I'm waking up in the morning disciplined to get my training in before, the same discipline falls into my faith with God. And so everything just compounding and building. So ultimately that is that discipline. It goes into my athletics. It goes into my daily life, everything. But if I didn't have it in my daily walk, I wouldn't have it in my athletics. So.
That's true. That's very true. One of the things that I've noticed as well, especially with my walk, is that everything ties together. And it's like you can't – if you separate one thing, then you separate who I am. And I said, so it's like it would almost be like Scooby-Doo trying to go in four directions and just colliding back really hard because he wasn't supposed to go – in any separate way other than how he's going. So I can really basically piggyback everything you just said on there because you can't have one without the other, and one doesn't exist without the other.
Exactly. And plus that purpose and that focus too, I could just go run, but what am I running for? So yeah, I mean, in a spiritual sense, but also in the physical sense. And again, how we said it ties together that way, like, I have to be focused on winning that show. That has to be my everything. I don't want to just beat there if I'm a boxer. I got to beat that big, like I'm going to win that fight. And so that's how I kind of, like we said earlier about how, like the Army, okay, that's challenging, but I can do it because I'm going to find a way. I'm not just going to aimlessly aim for the Army. I'm going to go, hey, this is what I got to do to succeed as a soldier. This is what I got to do to succeed as a bodybuilder. This is what I have to do to have a great relationship with God in my life, So.
Yeah. Yeah, we do know.
I think you know what we're going to say in Wisconsin.
Hey, I'm all about that. I'm telling you, I'm all about that. You don't have to worry about that,
Hey? Yep, absolutely. In the North Air,
Hey, don't you know? No, wait, that's North
Dakota.
No,
we're not that far.
I'm getting a mix up here.
Try.
All right, I'm going to have to work on that one. So, Brittany, I know,
all you
got to
do is
kind of
listen, Dej. All you got to do is listen.
That's Jamaica. Why are you totally skipping time zones now?
I can go all over, man. You not said nothing.
You've gone international on us at this point. Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh. Where's your Celtic? I want to hear your Celtic impression. Because you know Palin is a Celtic warrior.
Yes.
That can bikini pose.
Very Celtic.
Yeah. But anyway, this is not about Kaylin. This is about Brittany.
Not about me at all.
And Brittany.
I'm not getting into that.
No, we'll have a show.
Not getting into that.
We'll have
at
a show
yet.
About you next time. Just because you have dreads doesn't make you Jamaican.
Don't be passing with the dread girl.
Oh wait, we're in the Chelsea. Ah, shoot. So Brittany, getting back, you have in your last. Several shows, at least two or three, you've placed very well, but it's been second place.
Yes.
Second place.
That has to kind of
mess with you a little bit. I mean, it's one thing to be in the top five, you know, consistently, but then when you are second place, how are you staying motivated?
You know, ultimately you have to be so secure in yourself and what you've accomplished personally, and that'll trump it every time. So don't get me wrong, when I get those second places, there's a moment, you know, where I gotta deal with myself in my head, or you know, or vent it out to a friend or whatnot, of course. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, I look at my physique, I look at the improvements that I've made, I know how hard I train, and that's what matters. And so you have to be content with that. If not, you shouldn't probably be in the sport. You know, you have to be proud of yourself. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So.
Especially if you're talking about the life journey and the Christian walk. Because a lot of times, and I've played sports all my life, and I've just been amazed at the knowledge that has come, not from the loss, but how I took it and how I accepted the fact that somebody else had a right to win as well. And I think that's a lot of things we forget when we're competing, is that we say, I have to win. And I said, no, you don't. You don't have to win. I said, you can win in so many other ways than a trophy. But when you say the only thing that matters is the fact that I place above everyone else, then there's a big problem in that, like Brittany was saying, because something is wrong in that thinking. And if we don't understand that, we don't understand why so many people say, oh, it's politics, someone cheated, someone's using. These things are basically coming out because we don't accept the fact that someone was better. And I said, in a Christian walk, have to get around better people in order to become better. So we have to accept that almost from day one. So it's a lot easier for a Christian to go into it and accept that, hey, you know, you have just as much right to be here as me than somebody whose sole goal is first place or bust, because that's usually how it works.
Absolutely. And, I mean, take it. I mean, I'm probably one of the most competitive people I know and that other people know.
Yeah,
so,
I'm
I mean,
already
it's
set
not
the
easy
moves.
For
just
me,
listen.
You know. Yeah. But I know all my friends right now are laughing because of that comment. I know that they think that. Whenever I go, I'm a really competitive person, everybody says, you are. So I don't really need to point that out, I guess.
No, I believe it. It's in your whole demeanor, so you're good.
So you have competed in NPC, but then you have begun to make the switch probably to solely all natural federations. What is it that sparked that transition for you?
Well, when I did my NPC shows, that was when I just started. I mean, I just listened to my coach at the time that I had. It wasn't Meshack. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know that there's all these different federations. So little did I know that it wasn't an all-natural, you know, federation. And so so I joined it. And so after the first competition, I started learning more and more. And then I was like, wow, well, I'm an all-natural competitor. Like, I want to show that off. I want to be proud of that. I don't want, you know, people thinking otherwise, or I don't want to portray otherwise. And so it was really important to me to switch over to the natural federations and only compete within that, because that's where I ultimately wanted to go far in. You know, the NPC ones, it didn't mean anything to me, you know, in that sense. It was fun to do, but it's not where I want to go far. It's not what I want to represent as an athlete, you know.
Oh, wow. That's very well said. and very well. It's staying a lot closer to Scripture than most people would think or understand, especially, you know, when you talk about the spiritual sense of encouraging others to improve. You sure wouldn't want to have that moniker following you, because, you know, anything that hurts your testimony hurts your witness. So
exactly.
I'm really proud of you making that statement. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like everything I believe in is, you know, bringing the best out of yourself. You know, that's what I want. I'm a personal trainer, and that's obviously what I'm portraying, is bringing the best out of yourself, you know. So why would I want to be portraying other than that? Like, I want to show everybody that I'm doing my absolute best, and this is what I can accomplish by digging deep and portraying that. So. This guy.
What accent is that?
Yeah. I don't know where you're from. That's way up north.
I think he just got a little excited. Way up north, he said. Woo! It's Thursday. Oh, shoot. So we would be remiss, just real quickly, because bodybuilding is not the only thing that you do. You're a pretty well-rounded and diversified athlete. You've done quite a few things. You are working on growing, like, your own growing bike time. What exactly does that mean?
I'm lead. I lead a bike team. So,
okay.
I lead a bike team. Yep, sorry. And it's in the MS-150 ride. This will be our fifth year riding, and we're hope to be up to about 30 riders, but 150-mile bike ride that we do within 2 days. We have a couple accountability.
Wait. What? 150 miles in 2 days?
Yes. Yeah. Which
we
actually
James
is... Yeah, so we have a couple accountability groups. We have a really fast group. I mean, I think last year in the biking world, this is nothing. But for bodybuilders, it's something, you know. And we averaged, I think, maybe like 23 miles per hour. And I value that a lot. It's huge to me. The bike team is important to me. And so I enjoy leading that. And last year I did it in the middle of competing. So I did a show, then I did the bike ride, and then I did a show. And that was challenging. That was definitely a hard time. But it was worth it. It was worth every bit, because that's what I value. So.
Wow.
Awesome. That's tremendous.
Thank you.
So, yeah, hand clap for you. Exactly. And speaking of hand claps, we are at that time where we would like to open up the floor for you to give shout-outs to anyone and everyone that has been instrumental to you in your journey.
All right. Well, I kind of already said to my about my parents, you know, how they taught me really good work ethic, and my dad being the strongest guy I know. And I really look up to him in that. As friends go, you know, like, I can't just go to anybody. I can't go to a client. I can't say, oh, this is what's hard during the prep. This is what's hard for my workouts. You know, I don't want to portray that it's this terrible thing, but you have to have somebody that you can, that can be there to help you push you through the last 5 minutes of cardio. And so I have a couple of friends, Carly Crotto and Tanya Alst. They're the ones I can go to and kind of say the dirt, you know, the dirt in it that maybe you don't always want to tell everybody, but you have those moments. So I'm proud to say that they're there. And then lastly, I want to just give a huge shout out to my town, because I can honestly say with 100% confidence that I have more support from my town than I bet any athlete out there. From my church, World Harvest Church here in Rice Lake, to Swill's Smoothies, like, I can walk in and I'm just like, hey, Will, these are my macros. Can you make me, you know, can you fit something in for that? Da 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 da. And whoop, what's it up? No problem. To our coffee shop here, Cabin Coffee in Town, same thing. Oh,
wow.
You want your coffee special way.
I
like, I mean,
and beyond.
You know, it's just, this town is unbelievable for that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And of course, family, you know, family and a lot of friends, but just overall.
Where's
and then, of course, I mentioned my coaches. What's that?
Very cool. Now,
so I was going to say, if you're an athlete and you need some sponsors, yeah, come to Rice Lake, Wisconsin. You'll have everything you ever need. You have all the sports.
Now, where exactly is
Rice Lake?
What's a a major town that it's nearest.
Please.
Major city.
Okay, we're about northeast of the Twin Cities, about 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
That's the best I can probably do for you as far as a major city.
Yeah. That's not bad. That's not bad.
No, nope. That's, yeah, we do all right.
Kind of get it.
We got our milk and our eggs at the store, but anything beyond that, you got to drive a little further. No, we're pretty good. We got gyms. That's all that matters, right? We got a couple gyms, so.
That's right. You
that's
have the
counts.
Important
yep.
essentials. That's what counts. So speaking of gyms, where are we going to see you on stage next? Is you have any shows yet this year, or is it the 2017 season that you're looking at, or are you taking an extended improvement season? What can we expect?
You know, I have not fully decided due to some Army training that I have coming up. So I'm kind of waiting on that, but otherwise definitely my goal is to go back to the Chi-Town Showdown and take it. So, and that's in May of 2017. 2016.
Yep.
Yeah. What year is it? Yeah.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
It's still 2016, but it won't
I know,
be May again until 2017.
Right. So.
That's right. All right. Well, we hope to see you there. And you got to remember, we have our plans. Kaylin, Meshack, back pose.
Okay, I know you heard it.
Be
so
square.
He heard it.
You heard it here first.
So.
No. Be round and be down. You can't say
she's
there.
Oh,
we're talking about blue.
Be round and be down. Oh, I
that's
love
right.
it. Where's the tank top? I need a tank
down
top
and
that
then
says
pop.
That right
down
now.
Down and then pop.
Down and pop. I need
pop.
That one,
got
too.
You.
All right, Brittany. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Yep. It has been a hoot.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, no problem. We wish you all the best, and we'll be keeping an eye on you.
All right, y'all.
All right, y'all. Right now, my y'all is you, Kaylin Patterson.
Oh,
a lot of fun. Totally loving both of our guests tonight. Great energy,
oh
great
goodness,
outlooks,
what
a lot
a
of experience.
Show. What
yeah.
a great show. Oh, wow.
Too much fun. Too much fun.
Bye, y'all.
All right, dude. Let's
oh.
hear your snickerdoodle. Let's hear your snickerdoodle call out in your best accent. It can be anyone. Anyone.
Snickerdoodle. Yama.
What is that? I don't even sound. I can't even place that. Where was that supposed to be from?
It was kind of a mix of Jamaican and everything. Sorry.
Oh, shoot. Hashtag snickerdoodle. Hashtag. I
Red
don't even
Sox.
Have a follow-up hashtag. Follow-up
hashtag
for that
Sox.
One.
Redlock
hashtag
snicker.
Y'all.
Oh,
Redlock
yeah,
snicker.
Oh,
shoot. All right, Kaylin, last side is yours, buddy. What you got?
A big shout out to Josh for Tuesday's show. Great job. We got a lot of good responses from that one. Like I said, a lot of the questions that all the listeners had, we pretty much covered. With the roll call, we don't really have time for the questions, so you know we'll address them on the next show, probably Tuesday. So just keep asking, and basically we want to spotlight the athletes. And we'll start doing the questions as we get a better fit and feel for it. So I'm sorry if we didn't get to those today. Des and I will cover that Tuesday.
And you'll want to definitely be there with us on Tuesday. We're going to have Melissa Johnson, and she's going to be talking about her brand new athlete advocacy program.
Real big.
So,
real big.
Yes. Be sure to tune in and get the deets on that. So, on behalf of myself, Kaylin Patterson, P for P Muscle,
snickerdoodle.
Hashtag snickerdoodle, hashtag y'all, your body is a temple, let's build it.
Snickerdoodle.